6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
Yeah, we all did a little yelling. It's good.
Stupid team.
Feel better.
Solid. It gets under your skin. It's
just hard not to get angry at this, because you can see the iceberg coming, and you know they're going to steer directly the fuck into it.
It's the framework. The framework of what is happening is what is bothering me. It's not that they're playing better, or Owen Tippett signed a contract, or you know anything like that. It's the framework of what the front office seems to be doing. Again, we still don't know for sure yet, but where this ship seems to be going is a little bit, it's not resonating with me. It's not equating to a rebuild. It's saying, oh, we're going to reward them for overachieving on this very short period of time and potentially and waste time during a rebuild to properly install the foundation. That's what is bugging me. And is preventing me from getting on board with, like, it's like, oh, somebody like, just shut up and enjoy the season. It's like, well, like, I've done that for a long time. I've done that for more than some people have been alive right now that are fans. And I've seen that train come and go, and I'm looking for something more substantial. You know, I'm looking long-term on a lot of this stuff, and I'm not willing to just be satisfied with a short-term overachieving season. I'm just not.
Yeah. That's it's not about this year. You know, we expect this year to be shit, but it's been better than expected. But it's not about this year, it's about the future. What is this team gonna look like 2, 3, 4 years down the line from now? You know, and that word reward, I've heard that a lot over the last few weeks. Well, they got to reward them by keeping Sean Walker so they have the best chance possible going into the playoffs. And it's like, fuck, that's not what's supposed to happen here. You know, Noah brought up, well, they got to do it for the season ticket holders. Like, no, you know,
not anymore. They're sick of it. Yeah.
It's, if I was a season ticket holder, I would rather them craft a strategy to be a perennial cup team for a decade rather than a one-off first round exit team just to run it back in its entirety and never be able to reach that, even that low bar again. And it's just, that's the difference, is I'm trying to think about this on a macro scale, on a multi-year franchise building schedule, instead of this, well, what do they have to do to make the playoffs this year to get killed by the Hurricanes? That's just, that doesn't do it for me. You know, it needs to be more. And in the long-term picture here, their development sucks, their drafting isn't very good, the main roster is not good enough, they're gaping holes with no easy answers to. What do you do beyond this year? You know, if they run this entire group back, could there be a bubble team again next year? Sure, if everyone's playing at their peak, but it needs to be more than that. How do you get to be more than that? And this all falls back to what we talked about with Tortorella for so long, which is rebuilding the Blue Jackets. A hard-working bubble team and nothing more, nothing less. And that just feels like the path this team is on again. Is they're going to try and replicate that? And I want more than that. And there are no answers to this, and they're actively sabotaging all their prospects, and there's no good answers. And I never get a good answer on Twitter when I bring this stuff up either, because nobody's got a good answer, you see, because it really is bullshit, and nobody wants to admit it. They just want to enjoy the ride, as they keep saying, you know, but it needs more. I need more. I want to be more than just a fucking hardworking bubble team. I didn't waste the last 10 years of my goddamn life to be a hardworking bubble team. For another 10 years, if this shit doesn't pan out and this is all they do and they fuck up draft pick after draft pick, then it's another 10 years completely wasted. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to watch a good hockey team, a legitimate good hockey team, not an overperforming, hardworking, punch in the face bullshit. I want to watch a Colorado Avalanche. I want to watch the Oilers. I want to watch the Leafs. I want the Flyers to be like that. I don't give a fuck about Ryan Poehling or Nick Seeler or Sean Walker. I want Matthews. I want McDavid. I want star power. I want to watch a good hockey team. Fuck! Why is that so controversial?
The best is that the fans are like
somebody who's had a really shitty, you know, couple weeks or a couple days, and that would be like the last couple Flyer seasons. And then you go out, you're having a couple of drinks, they're playing good music at the spot that you're at, there's really attractive people around you, they're all smiling and having a good time, you're having a good time, your mood's improving, it's all good. It's a little bit surprising at first, so you have another one and you have another drink, and you know what, you buy somebody a drink too, and everything's all great, and you have another one and another one, and it's like, wow, I feel great. And then all of a sudden, you don't. And the world is spinning. And all of a sudden, you're going to puke. And it's not going to be good. It's going to be pretty bad. And that's what I'm waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I don't, you know, everybody out there, everybody out there is on that, wow, everybody's feeling so great. And this is fantastic. And we're going to keep going. We're going to re-sign Nick Seeler. We're going to re-sign Sean Walker. We're going to re-sign Poehling and everybody. And we're going to keep going. And then Ersson's going to take the number one spot. And he has been playing well, admittedly. But it's like all of a sudden then, when this team gets sucker punched and gets knocked out of the playoffs in round one, and then next year, if things don't return to what they are, then people are going to start to get a little irritated. And there's going to be people out there that go, wait a minute, guys, we're in a rebuild, remember? And it's like, no shitheads. That was last year, remember?
Last year was year three of a rebuild. Next year is year four.
Supposed to be doing better. Yeah, that's right. We're in year 12 of the rebuild. It started with Nolan Patrick.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. No way. Yeah. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Yeah. It's just a difficult thing, you know, to watch the ship here right now. And I think it would be, do you guys think it'd be good if they missed the playoffs this year?
I mean, part of me kind of wants them to, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It's mathematically feasible. They could. Yeah. I think if they fall out of contention over the last few weeks, it is possible. I guess they technically get a lottery chance at that point, but it's minuscule, so it doesn't particularly matter. But
yeah, it won't matter.
I mean, if you're looking for change, hopefully by that point, Walker and Seeler are not actually under contract if they still stay here. Mm-hmm. If they keep those two and then fall out of playoff contention, maybe they actually make some moves here. But if they sell these two and then miss out on the playoffs, I can go, see, we shouldn't have sold them. And they'll fucking do that. I don't know.
I think missing the playoffs would force their hand more in the offseason.
Yeah.
Where if they made the playoffs, even
it's
if they get
gravy
swept
at that point,
then it's just, this is just house money. Look at what we did. You know, and they can be aggressive in the offseason, or they can just sit on their hands. It's not going to matter because they can just say, look what we did last year, and we're just going to build on that. And that's how it's going to go. So, yeah, I think it forces their hand more if they miss the playoffs, regardless of what they do with the trade deadline. I think that the trade deadline is kind of in its own little world, because obviously what would happen at the trade deadline will happen. And then there's at least another, it's not that much time, I guess, another 4 weeks of season, which is
I think the last game is April 16th.
So it's been like 20 games roughly they have.
Give or take, yeah.
So, you know, it depends kind of where they're at the playoff spot at that time. I do expect them to take a little bit of a dip. I mean, I know we've been saying that all season. They kind of have been, you know, keep creeping up there. But I got to think that they're going to come back down to earth a little bit. I think they've been playing like 500 hockey or so the past couple of weeks, generally speaking. So if they continue to do that, I think they
stay. 18 games, I think, post-trade deadline, looks like.
Okay. It's not a ton of time. It's a little bit of time to, you know, move up and down. But yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to say at this point.
What happens? I mean, let's look forward to the offseason. Let's say they trade Sean Walker, re-sign Nick Seeler, and the rest of the roster is as it is. Set the full stage here. They make the playoffs. They get eliminated in six games against the Hurricanes. Do they actually go into the offseason and try and address theirs? Do they sign Sam Reinhart? Do they trade for Zegras? Do they get Elias Pettersson? Whatever the case is, do they actually make improvements beyond this season? Or do they put this the gravy on their pie and just fucking, hey, we made the playoffs. Pretty much everyone's already under contract. Ronnie Adder's on a one-way deal. That fills up the Sean Walker hole, and we're just running it back, and it's going to be a quiet summer. Like, what happens?
Yeah. I think there's very little movement. I think there's very little movement with the team. I think the roster is will largely be the same. I can see them potentially trying to tease out Cam Atkinson from either a buyout perspective or trying to finagle a trade to a different team, perhaps. But if the team has aspirations of still being competitive here, then they'll probably keep him through the last year of his contract. But other than that, man, I don't see a ton of movement. I think the team is going to focus in on, hey, we've got these two late round first round picks, ours and the Panthers. We're going to devote resources to those guys. We're going to pick them where they're at, and we're going to see what happens, and they'll be ready in a couple of years, and maybe one of them turns into a 1C. And I think that's kind of what it is with it. I don't see this team being aggressive enough to go after Zegras in the offseason. I don't think the general manager is creative enough. I don't think they think like that. It's kind of bleak, but I just don't have anything to base it off of that would lend me to think, oh yeah, they're gonna trade Walker and get a first and then package three first round picks this year plus more for Zegras, which is what it would take. But they won't do that, unfortunately. But I don't know. That's kind of where I'm thinking with it.
All 12 of their forwards are already under contract. Couturier, Atkinson, Konechny, Farabee, Lawton, Cates, Hathaway, Frost, Delorier, Tippett, Paling, Forrester. That's it. Your 12 forwards are already here. They would need to remove one in order to add one. Even just for Lexell or Brink to make the team again, they would need to do something about that. So for them to go out and sign Sam Reinhart, they would need to then deduct Morgan Frost somehow. I cannot imagine there's any actual change coming. And that is where I just completely lose hope in all of this, is no matter what happens here with Walker or Sealer at the deadline, there's no room for off-season improvements. And if they're championing being this hard work and culture-based bubble team right now, then they have no fucking prerogative to make the effort to go bring these players in the first place. The roster's already intact. They could run it back almost in its entirety right now, depending on the fate of Walker and Sealer. If those two come back, it's the same team. That's fucking nuts.
The only thing with the offseason that I could see happening is trying to deal Risto, especially if they re-sign Walker and Sealer. And again, Russ Cohen brought this up. He goes, anything more than $4 million for Sean Walker is crazy.
Nuts. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, no, thank you. I'm not paying this guy $4.5-5 million. People are saying, I'm like, you're crazy. And no trade. No, thanks. I'm walking. Mm-hmm. I'm walking away from Sean Walker.
Well, Walker,
you could take a walk, Sean Walker.
Yes. I agree, Manny, completely with that. And what Russ said on it too. Let's say Walker is traded. Let's say he's the one guy that's off. The team re-signs Sealer. They still have – Risto is pretty much injured through the rest of the season, but he recovers this summer. I mean, who knows what he has? It sounds like some sort of weird Ryan Ellis shit going on with him right now. But I don't want to say that. But, yeah, I mean, it's been really weird. It has. But let's say that Walker's off the team. And let's say that Sealer's going to be here and, they still have a slot for Ristolainen. So he's going to be here. At that point, I'm not sure where they go with it. It's just, I think it's going to take us, a huge trade, to bring in somebody. And I'm in favor of, they don't have to, if they really want to try to not, pick at the top of the draft, fine, but do something creative, it's figure out the Zegras deal. Like we talked about before. Here's a question. What would it take to get Zegras in the offseason? Would it take three first round picks in this year's draft and plus your first round next year, or like four first round picks? Would you guys do that? I would.
I have no idea what the going rate for Zegras is. It feels high. Maybe a first round pick, an equivalent player, and this is kind of where the Flyers not using any of their prospects, put Brink and Andre together with a first-round pick and make it fucking happen. Mm. If you're not going to give these guys ice time at the NHL, use them for some kind of good for the betterment.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan.
Like, I don't know what the going rate is, because he's one of those guys that just there's no benchmark for something like is happening very often, so it's hard to kind of guess. But, yeah, I mean, I would pay pretty much whatever they would ask for Zegras. Because he's exactly what you need. You know, is he the bona fide number one C this team desperately needs? No. Is he a far better option than even Morgan Frost? Hell yeah. So, you know, they still need to find their top, their tippy-top guy, but it would be a gigantic step forward to help this this offense produce, you know, points at all.
Dude, imagine him and Michkov on the power play.
Yeah.
Dear Lord. I'm paying to see that.
Yep.
Like, even Konechny.
Like, even
Konechny will play better. Tippett will be better.
Sure.
That's the whole thing. Like, people talk like, oh, yeah, like, sure, Zegras is the answer to the... Listen, he's not the answer to all the problems, but he addresses the biggest weakness on this team, which is down the middle. And you move everybody down a slot. It improves your depth. It makes you even harder to play against. It improves your power play. So you're going to be in more games than not. And if you're happy with what they're doing this year, wouldn't you want them to get better anyway? It's kind of it's stupid. It's
no, you
want to
run it back based on culture, yeah. Manny.
Oh. And like that's why I would trade a lot of these picks. It's like, and it's just a different way of approaching it, but it's more creative. It's like, I have no fucking problem trade. If you want to figure out a way, I don't care how they slice it at this point, figure out a way to bring in that guy that fits the timeline and address the need.
Yep.
Whether that's through drafting in the top three or five or otherwise, but figure out the otherwise. That's
if you're not using your draft picks, there's no goddamn reason to keep them. Trade them to fill the main roster holes.
Yeah. And they're not getting a 1C at 31 overall. I mean, maybe, but you can't build your franchise on that maybe.
Even if you did, that's years down the line before that player would theoretically be ready. 3-4 years before he can jump into that role. He magically develops as one of the magic late round picks. It'd take years for that shit to happen. It's not going to happen next season.
Yeah, and they kind of need somebody who's, given where
they need
they're
a solution
at,
right now. Right, they can't wait for Michkov in 2 years to come save everything. They need a solution now to overhaul their center depth. They can't go, well, Michkov's going to show up in a few years. We're going to force him to play center. No, you need problems now. You can't just sit and thumb up for another 2 years. God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I think they got to use some of those picks. I mean, if they're going to try to get creative, whether that's, with some of the young players who aren't getting NHL time, which is ridiculous, or just package picks. Just acquire first round pick and figure out whether you use it or not, figure out a way to use them for something. I don't think the Flyers have the mental capacity to get that creative, as Dan had mentioned, where it's like, if they were to do that, they would have had to trade Cutter Gauthier and other stuff. And that's where the end other stuff is beyond them. They can't figure out what that is. Oh, other stuff. What does that mean? It's like, okay, well, maybe you give Cutter Gauthier in a first round pick. Maybe you give Cutter Gauthier in two prospects, or you take back a bad, whatever the other stuff is, figure out how to do it. But it's like, nope, it's got to be one for one. Cause it's all we can do. We have to think in binary ways, only one step at a time. Like that's what they do. So, I don't have any faith that they even considered it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if a guy like, there's got to be a way that you can get creative with Anaheim for this. I know that we keep talking, like, I mean, a lot of people keep talking, but just because it's so interesting, so much meat to this, and it makes so much sense for the Flyers. But, like, I mean, if you gave them, I mean, I don't even care if you overpay out the ass for him. Like, give them, like, a guy like Scott Laughton, too. It's like, maybe you package him because that team is looking for that veteran leadership, and he can play throughout the lineup and, you know, really give him some direction. Like you throw him in on a deal with a first round pick, with something else. So the Ducks are getting, you know, that high caliber asset in the draft. They're getting a right now player that's meant for the room, you know, figure out where the weak spots are and try to hit them. The Flyers can afford to take those risks and try to hit in those various spots. So like, that's why I really want them to push in this kind of direction.
But Mike, we can't trade three roster players or two roster players.
Yeah, God forbid.
For one, because all these fucking GED Flyer fans out there who realize they go, we can't trade three guys for one. It's like, but when you get the best player in the deal, it's actually better.
Yeah. Be like, that's it has to be binary, one for one. Yeah.
Right. It's like saying, like, I wouldn't trade three players for Mario Lemieux. Really? Well, then you're an idiot. I don't care what three players they are. You do it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them two first-round picks and Scott Laughton and more. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, we could spitball all we want, and I'm sure we come up with a package that I would have zero problem losing. And Anaheim might say, eh, you know what? Maybe we think about this.
Speaking of Cutter Gauthier, Craig Button on TSN released his top 50 prospects, NHL affiliated prospects list. You want to take a guess who came in at number one?
CG, baby.
Cutter Gauthier ranked number one. Yikes.
Yeah, I have a feeling this one is
clickbait.
I don't know. I think we're going to look back on this trade in a few years, and it's going to be real ugly. Because Drysdale just kind of exists. Just seems to be a dude. And I don't think the Flyers have been using him particularly well. Believe it or not, the Flyers are fucking up one of their young guys. Crazy, I know. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to look back on this one in a few years when Gauthier's potting 50 a year in Anaheim and Drysdale's just a dude. And it's like, man, boy, I wish Breer spoke English and not French and actually was able to sign this guy to a contract. But,
well, you mean Cutter Gauthier might have had a problem with spending a whole year with Lappy down in Lehigh?
And that was it.
3 years with Lappy at this rate.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
My life with Lappy. It's like a memoir. Lappy. Yeah. Lappy and me. Yeah.
Although on that big prospect list, though, Michkov came in number five, so that's good. Although he put Ryan Leonard at four.
What?
Yeah, I know. Whatever.
He's
it is what it is.
Yeah.
But also making the list, if you go down, number 23, Oliver Bonk. I guess Craig Button's looking at the statistics and the points and saying, ooh, this guy's going to be in our top 25. But
little whatever. Do they know, Walker and Seal are going to be under contract forever, and there's no room for him next year or anytime soon. But, yeah.
Bonk is going to go to the Reading Royals.
Hey.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Fucking possible.
Sweet. Yeah.
There is the doomsday scenario in this blue line, which is, I guess, fully possible at this point still. They re-sign Walker, say 4x4. They re-sign Sealer, say 2x2. And then they trade Ristolainen by retaining $1.5 million or so to bring his contract down for like a third round pick.
Yep.
Yep.
Which is, exactly. You know, they've hinted at Risto trading. You know, DeMarco's been talking about it, but everyone wants him money retained, essentially, which would probably be down to about the $4 million range, which is $1.1 million. So you trade him. What the hell are you going to get for Ristolainen? Probably not much. Say a third-round pick. So you keep these two guys, pay Sealer and Walker a ton of money, and retain money on Walker for a lesser pick than they could have got if they just got rid of Walker and Sealer combined. Doomsday scenario, but something that is very much on the table as of this moment.
It doesn't make any sense. You're going to retain $1 million, $1.5 million on Risto. You're going to double Walker's salary. You're going to double Sealer's salary. Like, you're going to be retaining money. You're already retaining money on Hayes.
And you're going to net a third rounder.
You know, like he's like, what kind of management, like cap management is that? Like, you're fucking like blowing all this money. Oh, the cap's going up. Yeah, that's good. So that means we could spend like drunken sailors.
Right. That means we can be stupid and mask our errors. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, we can purposely fuck up because the cap's going up. Yeah. Yeah. That'll do it. That's the way to run the team.
They got 1.6 of D'Angelo next year and 3.57 of Hayes, plus whatever Ryan Ellis says, whether he's on IR or LTIR, which is 6.2. If they buy out Atkinson, that was another, what was it, 1.3 mil or something like for him on buyout. So, yeah, a lot of dead cap and then a lot of extra money committed to some pretty shitty players. Because that builds a winning fucking franchise right there.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what the carryover is in this. There's some interesting, some of the more grinder, mucker and grinder stats the Flyers are excelling at this year. I noticed recently that Nick Sealer leads the league in block shots at around 168. And Garnet Hathaway has the third most hits in the league. So, and, you know, I didn't go through all of those sort of stats, but those things kind of stuck out to me. It's like, is that the culture that they're trying to build, is to hit and to block shots? It sounds like that's
pretty much
that's what they want. Is there carryover with that? I know we've kind of talked about, you know, from a mental standpoint, if there's care, but like, it's like, oh man, I'm the lead leaguer. I'm the lead leaguer, league leader in block shots every year. And that's, who, like, I don't think that's a thing, is it?
Hey, I mean, I guess that's the big question from here, is if they're running it back because they like the culture of the team, can that culture continue on for another year? Is there actually something tangible that keeps it together? And, you know, I'm sure Sealer's probably going to always be high on the blocked shot list, and Delorier is going to be high on the penalty minute list, and Hathaway and the hits and all the bullshit, all the random depth guys are going to be doing the thing. But, you know, I just, the idea that you're building a team around culture and vibes versus talent, that's such an intangible building strategy. It's not there. If it goes away, if they run it back next year and this team gives up on Tortorella, or they just can't mimic the same thing, like, and they run it back based on culture, it's a miserable failure. And it should have been an obvious failure, because no shit, building around something as intangible as culture is not a fucking successful building strategy.
It's weird. I think that's what Tortorella thought. Like, it was so refreshing last year when he said this team needs a rebuild, and everyone's like, oh yeah, that's right, it does. But his version of a rebuild may have been exactly that.
The definitions were not exactly the same. Yeah.
Like, to him, like, to John, I think rebuild is, I just got to coach him harder. And
I
got to
get rid of Kevin Hayes. Where I'm thinking, like, we got to get 10 first round picks on this team.
I think that's what he meant. I don't think when he said rebuild, he didn't mean get top tier picks.
Nope.
That's not what he meant at all. I'm like, what kind of idiot uses that word and means not what we're thinking? Like, it's just really bizarre.
Why didn't you just say, like, the culture needs an overhaul or something, rather than fucking rebuild? This is not a rebuild. It's not even close to a rebuild.
Yeah, he used the, does he know what that means? I mean, he may not. I mean, the guy's, I mean, he's half crazy. So, like, it's possible he doesn't really understand that that's what the general public thinks.
What the traditional sense of that word means to most fans.
I would love to know the history of the rebuild. Like, the Montreal Canadiens in the 70s didn't fucking, after they won all their cups, go through a big rebuild.
I think salary cap going forces it, essentially.
So you think it's a salary cap era thing?
Yeah, I think that's, like, that's the gen, that's got to be where it stems from, is that because there's financial restrictions on the teams and the way that caps are.
Right.
That would suggest that you need to be, that you start over, that there's a cycle that's cyclical. Whereas leagues that don't have that, when the NHL didn't have a salary cap, you didn't really have rebuilds at all. It was just whoever fucking, you know, you could be good forever, really. I mean, the Flyers were almost like the Yankees of hockey. Now, they didn't win quite as much after the 70s, but they were in tons of cups in the 80s.
Contention every year, except for the early 90s.
Contending,
there.
Spending like the Steinbrenners. I mean, really a compelling organization. And the salary cap comes and everything gets blown up. And in baseball, you kind of see the same teams, not always, but you do see kind of the same teams are successful for prolonged periods of time because they don't really need to rebuild. Now, that's changing a little bit with some of the free agency rules and whatnot, but I think in a league like hockey with salary cap now, you got to go through that. In the NBA, you got to go through that.
You build a team up until you choke yourself out with the money and your players get older, and then all of a sudden you got to sell them off for young assets and start the process all over again.
That makes sense. It's not like the Oilers won the cup, you know, then they trade Gretzky to LA and then, oh,
they can't,
I guess,
afford
rebuilding.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and then,
right,
oops, they won another Stanley Cup. Shit. Mm-hmm. What a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's actually really interesting. Yeah, it does make sense that it would be with the salary cap era. After the lockout there.
Yeah. And it's something that the Flyers struggled, you know, with Snyder's early days, because they fought tooth and nail against doing the very things that most of these successful teams do or have done to be successful. And I can't blame Snyder for that, because he's like, no, like, our model works and we're going to keep, and, you know, they tried to do it and they came damn close in the Pronger days here. And, you know, the Carter and Richards days. And, you know, that was early salary cap era there. But at the end of the day, the numbers are the numbers. The cap is the cap, and you can't get around it. You can't. There's a couple of ways you can skin the cat, but everybody's got to kind of do it the same way at some point. And Flyers have been so – they still haven't done it, right? I mean, as far as I – they still have not done an actual rebuild, not once in the organization's history. They didn't even try it. This is the first year that they've even said the fucking word in the history of the organization. And it's like, you know, you think you may want to just do things a little bit differently. Like, this is like a stodgy, slow moving barge that you're trying to compete with a freaking speedboat.
Ed Snyder didn't even use the word when, you know, when the Spectrum was on its last legs. They're like, you're going to rebuild the Spectrum. Don't say the word. We're going to build the Core State Center.
Yes.
We're going to build. We're not rebuilding anything. He wouldn't even say it. Fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's definitely new territory for them. And it, like, I can just sense like there is this just inertia in the organization where they're just like not – they just cannot bring themselves to just be like, look, you know, just like get on your freaking hands and knees and pray to the gods, you know, like at your wits, you know, like it's true catharsis here. Like they just can't get there. So I don't know. It's just a tough one. Yep. All right. Well, before we wrap it up, what's your final prediction? If you guys had an absolute final prediction for the deadline, what do the Flyers do? I'm not going first. Final prediction. This is for the $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You got to get it right to get the million.
All right. So, God. Walker gets traded for a second round pick. Sealer stays. Stahl stays. Lawton? I'm thinking Lawton stays, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they trade him. But I'm going to say he stays. I think the only move they make is Walker for a second round pick. And it's like last minute. They hold on for a first. Nobody wants it. They settle for a second. Only Sean Walker leaves.
Ooh. I think a defenseman has to go. God damn. Okay, they're definitely retaining salary and getting a pick in somebody else's trade. They are keeping Sealer. I just have this feeling Sealer's not going anywhere. They love him so much. I think the market for center and a depth utility guy, I can see Lawton going. And I'll say Walker stays too. So I'll say Lawton goes, and they're definitely retaining salary in somebody else's deal.
What do you think they get for Lawton?
They're going to ask for a first. Maybe I saw somebody tweeted that Jones was on some show, and he basically said what they were looking for in a Lawton deal. And people were like, yeah, that's a lot. so maybe he doesn't get traded then. The ask is just too much.
But you think he gets traded for the million?
What do you mean for the million?
So if you had to get it right to get the $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you had to say Lawton, and you got to hit all of the, you got to predict it absolutely perfectly.
Shit. definitely, I'm definitely going with the retention, and they're going to get a pick.
Okay, retention and pick. I could see that.
Uh, You know what? I'll change course. I'll say Stahl goes.
And Stahl. And
yeah,
that's
for
it.
For nothing. For like a sixth round pick. Doesn't even matter.
Mm.
They'll do the sixth round pick just to free up the spot.
To
not do the 11-7 anymore. They need to get rid of a defenseman. They haven't made up their mind. They don't know what the fuck they're doing with Sealer and Walker.
Mm.
And then Lawton is just too unpredictable. They'll do bare minimum and people will be over the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So Stahl and a retention and getting a draft pick. That'll be my official prediction.
Okay. Gosh. All right. I think that they do not trade Scott Lawton. I think the value won't be there. I think that they're going to re-sign Nick Sealer before the deadline or on the deadline to some nominal deal over the next 2 or 3 years. In fact, it'll probably be a 3-year deal now that I think about it. He's going to get the extra year, I'm sure. I think that Stahl stays. I think that the salary retention idea you had, Manny, is a really good one. I would hope the Flyers are sophisticated enough to pull that off, but I'm not sure they are. I'm in between. These are my two choices. I'm in between only the salary retention or trading Walker for a second round pick. One or the other.
Yeah, like a defenseman has to go. They can't have this.
Theoretically,
I mean, but they're so good. But a playoff push. And
they're clearly helping.
You
got to
reward the guys. I'll say this. For the million, I'll say they trade Walker for a second, nothing else.
Yeah, I could see that too.
That's where I'm at. It's the only thing that is feasible right now.
All right, so whoever wins.
Bragging rights.
Gets it.
Down.
Gets bragging rights. And
whoever wins gets Dan's autographed Carter Hart game worn jersey.
Yeah, anybody want my Carter Hart jersey? Send it to the winner.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Well, it's settled then.
Yeah.